This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The hadith in the collection of both Bukhari and Muslim related to us by Abdullah ibn Umar. And this is a long hadith. It's called Hadith Thalatha Nafar. That's what they call the hadith. It's the hadith of the three men. And you've heard this hadith, I'm sure, at some point in your life, maybe multiple times. I'm not going to rate the whole thing. It's a long one. It's a long hadith. I just wanted the first piece of it. It's actually one of the hadith that requires a full lecture, or maybe even more, to dive deep into the meanings and actually take all the gems and learn all of the lessons that the hadith teaches. It's a very interesting hadith in many ways. But I'm going to just focus on the piece that I think is related to the theme of Birr al-Walidain, of treating your parents and relatives with excellence, which is the theme that we're going to be, inshallah, sharing with you over the next number of weeks. And this is what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. I don't have context to this hadith. It's really, I don't have context. Like, neither does Bukhari nor Muslim, nor the other scholars of hadith, because this hadith is in the two sahihain, but it's also in other lesser collections or different collections. And I don't have context for this hadith. I searched, I remember, years ago, to see what context was this story told in. Like, why did he tell this story, alayhi salatu wasalam? Because you always look for stuff like that to see what was going on? What was he confronted with, or what was he trying to teach? And I couldn't find anything. It's just a story, and it's an authentic one, but I just don't have good context for it. So maybe he was just telling the story, alayhi salatu wasalam, just so that it would live on, and we could maybe take it and learn from it. So this is what he says, alayhi salatu wasalam. I'll just narrate the first piece of it, and the rest of it you can read yourself if you're interested, and I'll try and narrate it maybe fully at some point in the future. قَالَ بَيْنَمَا ثَلَاثَةُ نَفَرٍ يَتَمَاشَوْنَ أَخَذَهُمُ الْمَطَرِ. Then three people were walking. They were walking together, taking a walk, and it rained heavily upon them. فَمَالُوا إِلَىٰ غَارٍ فِي الْجَبَلِ. So they sought refuge in a small cave. It's not really a cave. It's more of a cave, when you think of the word cave, because we all grew up watching Disney movies, when we say the word cave, we think something very wide. No, ghar is small. If you've been to Ghar Hira or Ghar Thawr, you know it's not really a cave. It's not like where you can go in there and you can put your stuff and you can sit and you can live there. It's more of just an opening. So you see, Ghar al-Shay is it goes inwards. Yeah, that's in Arabic. Anything that basically goes inward instead of outward, that's where the word Ghar comes from. So it's like an inward dent within a mountain or something. And that's what a Ghar is. So it's not really a large area. It's very small. They sought refuge from the rain. Just want to get out of the rain. So they saw a dent in the mountain. So they went in. فَسَقَطَتْ ثَخْرَةٌ مِنَ الْجَبَلِ عَلَى فَمِ الْغَارِ فَأَغْلَقَتْهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And then it was raining heavily, and a boulder from the higher part of the mountain fell and slammed right in front of this dent or this little opening, and it completely blocked it off. And now there are these three gentlemen are stuck in an area where they can barely move. They weren't sitting in a cave where you can just walk down and then have all the Indiana Jones yani stories happen on the other side of the cave. You're just sitting there. You have nowhere to move because there's nowhere to go. They're completely shut in. فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. So one of them said to the other, saying, ابحثوا عن أعمال عملتموها لله صالحة تدعون الله بها لعله يفرج لكم فرجة. So they start saying to each other, think of good deeds. Think of good deeds that you've done for the sake of Allah. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the blessing of those good deeds, or with those good deeds, that he offers an opening within this boulder so he can get out. So each one said something. I'm not going to say what they all said. I'll just tell you the first one, then you can... The topics are very intriguing, honestly, the three things that they said. The concept that is worthy of contemplation, just a little bit before we go to the first person, is the actual idea itself. Now, it's not that they went to this first. It's not that they stood there and they said, okay, don't try and push the boulder. No. We'll just do something different. We'll just make dua and it'll just fall. No, they tried to push, but there was nowhere to move. There were no tools, and you're stuck in an area where you can't go back, you can't go forward. It's a boulder. It's not a pebble, and it's not a small. It requires maybe men upon. You need many men to move it. So they're pushing us, and it's not budging. And if you lived in an area where there are mountains, you know that there are sometimes rocks that are as big as a house, And if that rock was to cave you in, you're not going anywhere. There's no hope of you getting through anything. So they had no tools. They did not have, by any means, the strength to do anything. So what was left? So they made dua. This doesn't mean that you only make dua when you have nothing else to do. That's not what this hadith is teaching. What it does teach is that you always make dua. Even in situations where it seems like there's no way out at all. You make dua when you can do something about your problem. You make dua when you have nothing to do about your problem. You make dua at all times. Dua is a part of this story, you know, the story of your life. You make dua constantly about everything. You're going to go ahead and try your best to achieve your goals. With all of your might, you will exhaust all of your resources to achieve them, and you'll be making dua on the side all the time. It's a problem if you understand this hadith as in, okay, when you can't do anything, you make dua. You always make dua. Whether you can or you cannot, you make dua. But they had nothing they could do, so they made dua. And the idea was that they're going to make dua through a deed that they did. And we don't have a lot of examples of that in the Quran and Sunnah. Very, very few of them. Where you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by a deed that you did for His sake. And it's an important concept to understand because they're going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabb, I did this. If I did this and I, at the time I was sincere, I was doing it for You, grant me something. It doesn't mean that this is always going to work, but that's the idea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always accept your dua. Whether He gives you what you want when you asked for it or not. It doesn't. If you ask Allah for something and you ask for it sincerely, doesn't Him accepting that dua and granting you something for it does not necessarily mean that you'll get what you want immediately. That's not what it means. These stories that we find in Sunnah is to give you examples of that happening so that you don't think that it doesn't happen. It's not the opposite. I mean, these examples in Sunnah is to say that yes, you can many times make dua and Allah will grant you what you want when you want it. It will happen. It's not to say that it will always happen that way, because any logical human being knows that it doesn't always happen that way. You have to be living in La La Land to think that it's always going to happen that way. I mean, you haven't lived life yet. That means you have been so shielded that you don't even know how life works. To think that every time you ask Allah for something, He'll give it to you immediately when you ask for it, that's not, that Aladdin lamp syndrome is a problem. That's not our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by any means. But these examples in the Sunnah are to say that it does happen. And something that will strengthen the probability of it happening is if you did something very sincere. And then the first man spoke. This whole preface was just to make sure that you understood why this hadith is important. So the first person said, Allahumma innahu kana li abawani shaykhani kabiran. So he said, Oh Allah, I used to have two old parents. Wa kuntu ahlibu lahumul halib. I used to milk my cow. فَآتِيهِمَا فَأَسْقِيَهُمَا قَبْلَ أَنْ أَسْقِيَ وَلَدِي. He had children, he had two parents. He would milk the cows, he would go and make sure his parents were going to be given the milk first, and then he would take it to his children second. قَالَ فَتِحْتُ فِي الشَّجَرِ يَوْمًا. And one day I got busy with the trees and everything. فَأَتَيْتُ مُتَأَخِّرًا. And I came late. فَوَجَدْتُهُمَا نَائِمَيْنَ. And they were sleeping. That's how late I was. فَكَرِهْتُ أَنْ أُوْقِظَهُمَا. I hated to wake them up. فَوَقَفْتُ عِنْدَ بَابِهِمَا. أَكْرَهُ أَنْ أَسْقِيَ وَلَدِي قَبْلَهُمَا. I don't want to give my children before them. فَوَقَفْتُ بِالْحِلَابِ عِنْدَ الْبَابِ. I had the milk standing in front of the door. وَوَلَدِي يَتَضَاغَوْنَ عِنْدَ قَدَمَي. And my children are standing beside me. Give us the milk, give us the milk. فَوَقَفْتُ حَتَّى اسْتَيْقَظَا. And I waited until they woke up. Now, that doesn't mean that he necessarily won't wait until the morning. Old people don't sleep for 8 hours straight. If you have an older person, they rarely go for 8 hours straight. Usually 2.5 hours or something is how they have to get up and go to the bathroom or you have to do something. So he was standing there for a couple of hours and his parents woke up. فَسَقَيْتُهُمَا ثُمَّ عُدْتُ إِلَى بَيْتٍ. And then when I waited, woke up and I gave them their milk and I went home. يَا رَبْ إِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّنِي فَعَلْتُ هَذَا لِوَجْهِكَ الْكَرِيمِ فَفْرُجْ لَنَا فِي هَذِهِ الصَّخْرَةِ فُرْجَةً نَرَى مِنْهَا الشَّمْسِ فَفَرَجَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ فِيهَا فُرْجَةً رَأَوْ مِنْهَا الشَّمْسِ. He said, Oh Allah, if you know that I did this only for you, like I wasn't waiting for someone to say, MashaAllah, MashaAllah, what a good boy, what a good son, what an amazing person, I did this for you. No one saw me and my children were crying the whole time, it was breaking my heart, but I did it anyway because I wanted to perform birr to the best of my ability. Now the interesting part of this story is, let's comment on what he did. How many of you think that would you have If he gave his kids a little bit of milk and sent them to sleep and then stood there, would it be acceptable? Would there be a problem if he gave them a little bit of milk? He gave the kids milk so they wouldn't wait. If he preserved the milk, went home and came early in the morning and served them the milk themselves, would that not be acceptable as well? I honestly, when I hear this story, like, why did he just stand there for 2.5 hours? Because birr is I explained this to you a few nights ago, is subjective. It's based on the person's experience. To him, that's the best he got. And that's what he felt he owed them. And that's what the relationship he had with his parents was like. So he did what to him was birr. It doesn't mean you have to hold yourself to that standard. That's not what this hadith is for. This hadith is to tell you that you should show your parents the best you've got. Meaning push yourself one step further than what you would usually do in love of your parents for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because he did it, and he did it for the sake of Allah, he asked, Ya Rabb, if you know that I did it for you and for no one else, then grant us an opening within this boulder so we can see the sun. That's what he did, because you're sitting in the dark. I didn't bring up that piece. I told you about the space. The space is very difficult. But what about the air? What about this? What about this? The sun? You can't see anything. You don't have a phone. There's no flashlight. You're standing there. It's very small. You can't breathe and you can't see anything. It's very scary. Ya Rabb, we want to see the sun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them an opening and they saw the sun. And then the second person made a dua and then another crack in the boulder and then the third person made and the boulder fell and they left. And that's the hadith. And there's nothing else. There's no other commentary. The Prophet ﷺ made no commentary on this hadith. He just said that. That's what happened. It doesn't mean that you walk around doing that every time you want something. But it's there to explain a concept. That the power of doing something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is real. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the value of you doing something sincerely for Him. He sees value in that. To the point where you can ask Him to break the laws of nature around you. To grant you something you want through a sincere act that you did for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is real. And that will occur. And the examples in the hadith is birr al-walidain, someone who said no to fahisha, and someone who just was extremely generous for the sake of Allah. Someone who was so careful about the rights of other people that he preserved someone's rights and would not touch it. Those are the three deeds. And the three these deeds themselves, just the concept, just the topics, are worthy of contemplation. But the first one, I think, is the theme related. Ilbir. Ilbir. They asked Allah to put a crack in a boulder through a deed he did for the sake of Allah, through his birr al-walidain of his parents, and he did, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the strength of birr al-walidain. Allah will break the laws of nature for you if you show it appropriately and do it for the right reason. And honestly, when it comes to birr al-walidain, there's no other way to do it. No one praises you for it. You have to. It will be sincere, for sure. It'll be sincere. I hope that was a benefit to you. يروي الإمامان البخاري ومسلم كل في صحيحه عن عبد الله بن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنهما قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بينما ثلاثة نفر يتماشون أخذهم المطر فمالوا إلى غار في الجبل فسقطت على فم الغار صخرة من الجبل فقال بعضهم لبعض انظروا إلى أعمال عملتموها لله صالحة تدعون الله بها لعله يفرج لكم في هذه الصخرة فرجة فقال الأول اللهم إنه كان لي أبوان شيخان كبيران الحديث صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك